to go ahead and get started with our post-race meet availabilities here. At Pocono Raceway, we are now joined by Dale Earnhardt Jr., team owner of Junior Motorsports, and also a very special title tonight as well, crew chief for the number 88 Junior Motorsports Chevrolet. If you have a question for Dale, please raise your hand. We will get a mic to you. Try to get as many as we can. We'll start here with Jordan and work our way around the room.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. What's the emotion of winning as a driver as opposed to a crew chief?
Well, the winning as a driver is a thrill. You play in a quarterback position, a captain of the team, if you will. Crew chief role is similar, but certainly more of an adrenaline rush than being an owner. I love owning race cars, and I love racking up statistics and championships, but it does not have the competitive sort of skin in the game, if you will, that the specific day does. Like, you know, when you're in the car, it's on you to make sure you're doing everything right. And when you're the crew chief, you're under a ton of pressure. I understand that I did not come in here and handle all of the layers that Marty usually handles or any given crew chief manages. They certainly were putting me in a position to do some light lifting. As the race went on, we got more comfortable and more aggressive, and it was fun. Felt like I really had some involvement, some input in the energy that the crew had, the team, the overall guys, and keeping them pumped up and keeping everybody executing, keeping Connor aware of what our goals were and what our expectations were on these restarts. He wanted to deliver on all of those expectations, and so I felt like, you know, in that aspect, it was a good day, and we had a strategy really go our way. Of course, it would have played out really good if it stayed green, but that caution falling the way it did, we're still getting the track position that we wanted. And so this was a lot of fun. I have a ton of respect, admiration for all the crew chiefs and the role that they play and the stress that they put up with. They to do this week in and week out is extremely tough, and it takes a long process, I think, to work yourself into a position to be able to get that role and get that opportunity at the cup level. And I really have a new appreciation and a new level of respect and understanding, I suppose, of the tough calls and decisions they have to make, and they have to be right. And I don't know that they get as much grace as the drivers do when they make a wrong decision, right? So a lot of pressure on the crew chief. And so, but it was a cool experience for me. I'm glad I did it. Marty, I didn't walk in and say, hey, can I do this? Marty texted me, said, hey, would you want to do it? I think you could. And so it was his idea. I think we all should, understand that the Lindley and Earnhardt family have a ton of history together as far back in the 70s when Dad and Marty's father were racing sportsman cars around, you know, the Southeast and so forth. And Butch was a better driver, well respected by everybody in the industry. And I think me and him sharing the similarities and the tragedies that we both experienced with losing our dads has connected us. I remember when Butch was killed, my father went out of his way to connect to Marty, bring Marty in. I would ride with Tony Sr. and Tony Jr. on the to the Busch races in a 15-passenger van to Atlanta, and we'd stop on the side of the interstate to pick Marty up so he could be part of the team and go with us. And I remember Marty coming through our shop, the Deerhead shop, many times, Dad giving him advice, helping him out. Marty becomes a driver, an incredible driver at that in the Pro Series, and now a great crew chief. So there's a lot of there's a really neat connection there that I think sprung that idea into his head for to ask me to do this, and I'm glad he did. Junior Motorsports is a badass organization that can put somebody like me on a pit box and still have a chance to win a race. So
you're going to give a lot of credit to a lot of other people, but what role do you think you played in tonight's win?
Well, I don't know. You know, I think you have to ask some other people about that, but I felt like, coaching Connor a little bit on restarts, he was asking some questions about what he should do, and I was thankful that he wanted to know those answers because I definitely didn't want him doing what he thought he should do. But I know he's the kind of guy that's like, hey, tell me everything. There's not enough information. But you know, I think I wasn't going to make a decision about an adjustment. I did have some influence on our strategy when we were going to pit, if we would flip a stage or anything like that. But they already have a plan before they ever leave the shop on what adjustments they want, when they want them, why they would want them. And so all that stuff is almost like push button. When a driver says, hey, I'm loose off, all right, that's what we need. We're going to do this. We're ready for this. We plan for this. So there's not a ton of communication. It's fairly, if everything goes like it's supposed to, you know, the job's relatively seamless. And, you know, if everything was going to go great, we were going to pit under the stages after winning them and break the third stage in half and cruise to the finish line with a great finish. But sometimes this racetrack and this race, as you'll see tomorrow, will throw some opportunities and some really tough decisions into the crew chief's lap. And, you know, we kind of put ourselves in a position that was different from everyone else, and it gave ourselves a chance to gain a little bit of track position when we needed it. We weren't going to beat the 17, heads up. We weren't going to drive to the 17 and pass him. So that was – we were going to run third if everything went the way it was supposed to, and this gave us a chance to win by coming to pit road or staying out at the end of stage two and coming to pit road at the end of the, you know, at the end of the fuel tank. But, you know, I'm not a fool to think that, you know, I didn't have control of all the levers and the buttons and stuff, but midway through the race, man, I was feeling it. And me and the engineers on the box were in a great conversation around what we should do, how far we could make it, whether we were going to have enough for the green, white checkered, how aggressive could we get to lap 69, 68, all those things. And then you get down. I think the one thing that I was most nervous about was actually setting that left front tire, because it's easy to set the tire, the guy grabs it, right? But there's a tenth or two, or even a half a second between how far you can get it out there to him. You need that stripe up so he knows where the lugs are, how he can place the tire quickly. All these things are very minute, but they're important that he grabs the tire from you in a certain way, and I didn't want to mess that up. So those guys were great. There's a track house crew, and I went over there this week and tried out or practiced with them for about three rounds, and they were like, you got it, man. I think it's going to be fine. They were awesome to work with, great group of guys. And so that was probably the most – I was so thankful that we actually had one stop less than we planned, because I didn't want to go down there and mess up rolling that tire, setting that tire in there, and cost us a couple spots on pit road we didn't need to lose.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Are you one and done as a crew chief, or does this open up the opportunity of – in another unique situation of doing this again in some form or fashion?
I mean, it's really up to the crew chiefs, the teams individually. You know, I think I would not ever walk in the shop and go, hey, you know, I'd be up for doing it. I'm not going to do that. But if, you know, if we find ourselves, unfortunately, where Jim or somebody gets suspended or even Marty again, if they want me to do it, I would happily do it. And we have such great, you know, car chiefs and engineers, great, great people, and they really do all work really well together in the shop, and I would feel confident that, you know, we could go out and get a good result if we needed to do this again, but I'm not going to seek it out. It was a lot of fun, a lot of pressure, definitely out of my wheelhouse for sure, and I had tons of support. Again, I had so much support with our team and Bummy, Mike Bumgardner, who kind of runs Junior Motorsports in a competition role. Just so much good support to be able to succeed, and really, really good fortune on the strategy.
And what does it mean to be able to be one of the few people in the history of the sport to have a win as owner, driver, and crew chief for as much old school as you are to be able to have that accomplishment?
Well, it's more happenstance than anything. It wasn't a plan. I was never going to crew chief a car. I wasn't ever going to seek out that. That wasn't something that I ever saw myself doing. And, you know, it's neat, but it's more coincidence, happenstance than anything. And again, I don't know that I'll see myself doing it again. Hopefully we don't have any more issues where our guys all go to the racetrack and nobody has to fill in for anybody. But I'll do whatever my team needs me to do. I'll say this. I think after our experience today, that team, the team, the morale of that team and the energy and excitement around that team is better than it was when we walked in this racetrack, and I was thankful to be a part of that.
We'll go to Lee next.
Lee Spencer, Sirius XM NASCAR Radio and CatchFriends.com. That's kind of where I was going, because the strength of this team to be able to win without the driver in the seat, without the crew chief in the seat, they have three wins. You know, it's not going to kind of, it'll reflect on the owner's points. It's not going to reflect on the driver, but to have a team that, you know, take away the driver, take away the crew chief, and we still win.
Yeah, I think that says a lot about Marty and the operation he runs. He sets a, you know, he put a great race car on the track for practice today. Top three car, really good, happy speed with that car. And so that makes the job super easy. He's just really talented, smart, really, really smart guy. Understands geometry, setups, no front end, clip, all that stuff. He's really sharp about all that stuff, but he's also really got a neat style about how he manages his people. So when I got here to the racetrack and throughout the weekend, I really, really enjoyed watching Tanner and Pat and all the crew really just elevate what they had to do. And they all were, nobody was nervous, nobody was anxious. Everybody was going to have to carry a little more of a load, and they were ready and excited and confident. And so that's all Marty, really coaching those guys up. Some of those guys are my engineer, Tanner. I think he's been in this sport for 2 years and came to Junior Motorsport his first year on our box this year. And I'm telling you, the kid was all over the fuel mileage today. And just any question I had about fuel mileage, how far we could go, he was confident and sturdy in his decisions and expectations. That's Marty giving those guys that confidence and belief in themselves.
And finally, how did it feel to have the girls there? Because, yeah. I mean, Isla was really getting into it, and it's like they're at an age now where they can appreciate what dad does.
Yeah, you know, I don't think I'll ever get to take them to victory lane as a driver, so I love that they get to experience just things about NASCAR. I had such a great time growing up as a kid in this sport and just running around here, and I want them to have that opportunity and understand that this is a place where they could, you know, create opportunities for themselves down the road. And so, yeah, I'll let them do what they want to do with their lives and steer themselves where they want to go and support everything they want to do. But I certainly want them to know that NASCAR is an option and exists, and there's so many possibilities. And if they're enjoying being around it, they could find ways to, you know, make a living at it. So we'll see. These are memories, core memories that they make, I believe, walking down pit road and going to victory lane. Nicole wasn't as thrilled to be there today, but she was super worn out. But every picture she takes, everywhere we go, no matter where, she holds her number one up. I don't know where she got that, but so I thought she'd have a blast today in victory lane getting to do that for real. But it was fun giving Nyla the checkered flag and letting her hold that and have a little responsibility. That feels good as a kid, right, to be given a job to do. And so I hope they enjoyed it.
Zach Sterniello, NASCAR.com. Dale, victory lane, that you did end up feeling like you had a larger role in today's race than you anticipated. I know you said strategy-wise it ends up being a little bit more straightforward and seamless from that perspective, but what were your biggest surprises today, and is it as rewarding as you anticipated to be here at this moment?
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome to, you know, you never imagine you're going to win the race. We hope we do and hope we can put ourselves in that position to do it. But the 17 was very quick. The 7 was fast as well. But I knew when we saw our car in practice, we kind of matched what they were doing. And I felt like that being in that other group, it gave me some confidence that in the right scenario, we could actually maintain our track position if we could get in front of them. And, you know, it got a little wild at the end, and there was a lot of change in position and so forth. But, we were sitting there thinking about the strategy, and Letarte was sitting there, and he says, man, I don't know. I was worried about, if we flipped the stage, we gave up the playoff point, or we gave up the points earned and all of that. And didn't really – none of those solutions really were a huge lure and benefit. So we were watching our lap time, and we thought, man, if we can run these laps, they only have a little bit better tire than us. If we can just keep the clean air, run this lap time just for a little while, we only needed to go about 10 more laps to about lap 68. It's like, we should be great. The 17 might come past, but we're going to really have a shot at a top three, maybe a win. And so Steve was definitely all about that strategy. That's really right up his alley. But I was nervous because we, you know, I don't have Marty there to really tell me confidently this is the fuel mileage we're getting. We were in traffic when we were measuring our fuel all day. And then when we get the lead, the fuel mileage changes a little bit. So you got to adhere to those changes and understand that you really can't push the car and run him out of gas. That's really one thing, the last thing I wanted to do today. But so there's a lot of conversation up there to figure it out and finally land on something we can feel confident about. And so I felt it felt good to like have some, you know, have some input and decision making power, if you will. And then, you know, I think helping Connor understand what our plan was, and so that he knew when to push and what he was expected to do. You know, that was one of the things I always struggled with as a driver, is it's not just, you know, when you're on the racetrack as a driver, sometimes you're just driving the car and you really can't do the math, right? You need the crew chief to say, all right, I need you to lead and keep the lead. I need you to run qualifying laps here for the next 5 or 10 laps. Like, this is exactly what I need for this period of time because I've got a plan, and this is going to work out if you give me this and do these things for me. And so that was kind of fun to be in that role and helping Connor understand the goals and objectives and who was doing what and what our plan was. And it's pretty neat, but a lot of fun. Steve was sitting there, and he's like, you should tell Connor over the radio exactly what your plan is, because you need as many people to buy into this and stay out with you to create the buffer between you and the 17. And so I'm on the radio going, all right, Connor, here's the plan, man. Blah, blah, blah. We're going to do this and do that. Just telling the world. And I think the 16 and the 2 were the only ones that did it. But it's pretty neat, man. Awesome to have Steve around. Absolutely was not going to pass up the opportunity to have him join me and stand over my shoulder today. And his input certainly influenced our opportunity to win.
I didn't even know that.
Well, we've also now been joined by our race winner, Connor Zilich, driver of the number 88 Junior Motorsports Chevrolet. We'll continue on with questions. We'll go to Eddie and then to Ryan.
Dale, Connor, Eddie Kalegi, Motorsports Today. Congrats on the win. Dale, I'll go to you first. Of course, as we can see, you were more of a driver coach in the scenario in this race. And when it came down to it in stage three, a couple of restarts where Connor got shuffled back a little bit and then was able to battle back. So how are you able on the radio to keep him composed and help him get back to the front?
Connor is, a young man going on 35. He's got tons of maturity. There's not a lot of things that I feel I can tell him that he's not already thinking. There's a lot of times when I was thinking some things in my mind and he was talking about them on the radio. And so for him, he's just very present, very self-aware. He's going to be one of those drivers, going to be a ton of fun to work with as he goes forward in his career. And so he's very prepared, studies throughout the week. There's not a lot of things that you have to share with him as the weekend. When you get to the weekend, he knows the strategy, he knows the expectations, he kind of knows what the plan is if everything goes a certain way. But it was fun to kind of help him understand what I thought would be the best scenario in some of those restarts. You're kind of in some vulnerable spots on these restarts here. You really don't know how the start's going to go until you realize whether you're connected or not connected, and then you're either on the offense or maybe you're on the defense. But either way, There's a ton of decisions that happen between the flag stand and turn one for all those guys in rows 1, 2, and 3. And so I was glad that he wanted to have more information, and he did just such an excellent job. A lot of times, like when the 7 and the 17 got messed up there, a lot of times that would have been a bad deal for us. He turned left and stood on the throttle and even got up underneath a couple guys and scored a few spots back before the caution comes out, and we're sitting third still with a real shot at it. That could have really been a bad deal there. But he did such a great job in a bit of a moment of panic for everybody down there in 1 and 2 to do the right things.
And Connor, of course, you had like this Doc Hudson-esque coaching today. But, you know, with the actual race itself and looking big picture, The big deal for you was to finally get that oval win, and you've been close so many times this year. So how does it feel kind of to shed that and be able to say that you're finally an oval winner here in the Xfinity Series?
Yeah, it's funny because my pit crew in Victory Lane said, you won on a triangle. You still haven't won on an oval yet. So, but yeah, it's awesome. I mean, I've been working for this for a while now, and you know, I feel like I've been so close so many times. Charlotte, I had a chance on a late race restart. Nashville, I lost it on a late race restart and couldn't get back by Justin. And finally, all the cards fell in our way today. And you know, we were able to execute and get the lead with a few laps to go and set sail. But yeah, it was such a cool race. And you know, having Dale in my ear, there was one point, because I'm the same way. When I spot for Ross or Kyle or whoever I spot for, I don't want to say much. Like, I feel like they know everything. And you know, I feel like when I talk, I'm in the way. And, you know, he sometimes says the same thing. And there was one point where he was like, I know I'm feeding a lot of information. And I was like, no, like, there's not such thing as too much information. And I'm very much like that. There's guys that, you know, can tune it out and you know, just want the information and choose what to listen to. And then there's guys who just don't want to hear it. And I'm one of those guys who wants to hear it and I pick and choose what I want to listen to. And, you know, for most cases today, I listen to a lot of it. So, yeah, it was really cool to have Dale in my ear. And, you know, I wish Marty could have been here for our win. It stinks that, you know, he wasn't here. He's the backbone of our team and he's been doing a really good job lately within my entire team, Pat and all the guys. They've been firing on all cylinders lately and it's been showing on the racetrack with our results. So, yeah, grateful to get a good result today and finally get that oval win.
Hi, Dale Connor. Congratulations. Ryan from Five Lug Racing. Dale, I'd like to start with you. Connor wins in his debut Xfinity race as a driver in Watkins Glen. Fast forward a season later, and you win your crew chief debut. So fun fact for you. But listening in on the scanner, you spoke on that final restart. Can you walk us through the decision and strategy in lane choice to push the two?
Yeah, I think that our best opportunity for us was to try to really assist the control car. There's such a risk. Well, our data tells us this outside line is definitely going to win out more times than not. I think it was a 71% success rate at row 1, 2, and 3 on the outside line to actually gain a spot. So that's easy. And then there's the chance, I guess, if you're, you know, being behind the car that's going to launch first, you can connect and get to pushing and get going. That is harder to do in the lane that's not under control. So the control, you know, the non-control car has to guess when the leader goes. You, as the following car, has to guess a lot of different things as well to be able to latch and connect and push. As you saw today, that was like a 50% success rate in that row. So we definitely didn't want to be in that situation. I didn't love the bottom. Even though he made some great passes down there on some cars, I thought that, you know, I kept telling him, I'm like, man, here's the goal, right? We're going to start here, and I just want you to try to be on the outside of that inside car. Just gain us a spot here off of two. If everything goes well, we'll come off the corner on his quarter panel, side draft him down the straightaway. We gain a spot, right? There's going to be more wrecks, more cautions, more opportunity for us to get on the front row and do some things and get lucky.
Thank you. And Connor, congratulations on your first career non-road course victory, we'll call it that. I wanted to speak on your return from injury in Charlotte. You finished second there, second in Nashville, and now at first here at Pocono on the non-road course races. How do you feel about the positive consistency you've achieved on the ovals, and do you think now you've cemented yourself as a true title contender this year?
Yeah, I've never thought of myself as not a title contender coming into the year. You know, I knew it was going to take time to get up to speed. And, you know, a lot of these guys have been with their crew chiefs for years now. And they have setups that they know and they can go to the racetrack with and be confident in. And it's tough showing up with a new crew chief, a new driver, a new pairing, and expecting to win races right out of the gate. So, you know, we knew that starting the year, it would be a little bit difficult at times and we would struggle a little bit. But, you know, me and Marty haven't let up. And we've continued to work. And, you know, I'm at the point where I feel like every week we show up, we've been really competitive. And, you know, all the Junior Motorsports team work really, really well together, all four cars. And we share notes and share what we're going to the track with. And you know, I feel like that's also helped a lot, having those guys to lean on, especially Justin. You know, I feel like everywhere he shows up really close to, you know, being the fastest car on the racetrack. And, you know, I've leaned on him for a lot of advice. So, yeah, it's a combination of a lot of things. But, you know, I never saw myself as a non-title contender. But, you know, recently I've gained confidence for sure, especially on the ovals. And, you know, this is my third oval race, finishing top two in a row. So, you know, we're heading in the right direction, but that doesn't mean we're going to, you know, slow down and give up yet. You know, we got a lot more races left in the season and a goal at the end of the year to win the championship in Phoenix.
Thank you, guys, and best of luck to you.
Thanks.
I'm going to go to Jordan and then Dalton.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. This is for Connor. Connor, what is it like when you're – I heard you on the radio saying that you want all the information, but you've got Dale in your ear telling you everything. How do you process that, and do you feel, like, obligated to almost – have to take that advice regardless of what that advice is?
I wouldn't call it an obligation, but definitely I listened to what he says. He's got way more experience than I do. He's won here, you know, in a cup car twice, and you know, there's no reason for me not, you know, he's my crew chief. He wouldn't be giving me bad information. So you know, it's hard sometimes. You know, you say, you know, this is the plan, we're gonna try and do this when we go down into turn one, and then next thing you know, I'm you know, when I was the control car, I was third car in line. By the time we got into one, I didn't get a good push, and plans change. But it's good to have a driver that has gone through this stuff before, you know, in my ear, because he understands what the driver would want, and he was giving me that information. All right, we want to be here, you know, when we come out of one, or, you know, this is the position I want us to be in, and that, having that really helped me. So you know, obviously the goal is to win, and, you know, we want to be as far forward as possible, but you know, the advice was very helpful for sure.
Connor, Don Hawkins of Front Stretch. When you're racing one of your best friends in Jesse Love for the lead in the win of the race, do you give him maybe a little bit more space? Do you race him a little bit differently than you would anybody else?
Man, it's tough. You know, I racing for a win, like, you know the saying, I'd wreck my mom for a win. You know, it's tough because you don't want to have to go hang out on Monday and him be mad at me. But at the same time, a win is a win. And, you know, if it's for fifth place or whatever, I might be a little bit nicer than most than other guys. But for the win, I'm going to race everyone like I want to win, and that's kind of just the bottom line. And he would do the same, and I'd expect the same out of him, right? At Watkins Glen, 2 years ago or whatever, he shipped me out of the way for the win, and I was trying not to, right? I wanted to race him clean and give him a shot, and not give him a shot, but give him a chance to, you know, race me. But you know, he got a little bit loose off of three, and I was able to sneak under him, and I had the better car today for sure. You know, we've had really fast Junior Motorsports cars lately. The Hendrick Engine Shop's doing an incredible job, and we've been really fast in all aspects. And you know, it was just a matter of time when I got up into the top three with the 16 and the two, where I was going to be able to sneak by and make a move. And you know, it just took one little mistake from Jesse, and I was able to squeeze by without any chaos or contact.
And how cool is it to be able to share this journey with him, to be able to race for championships in the Xfinity Series, race for wins, and also make periodic cup starts, and eventually that'll probably be a full-time cup start as well?
Yeah, it's awesome to be able to share that with a friend of mine, and you know, it's good to have someone like him, because, you know, we're really good friends off the track. We help each other. I help him on the road courses, he helps me on the ovals, vice versa. And you know, we help each other a lot, but at the same time we push each other to be better too, and we hold each other to a standard. And you know, when one of us isn't doing well, we let the other one know. So you know, it's really cool to have someone like him that I can lean on, and you know, that also pushes me to be better, because, you know, I feel like we're both pretty young and coming up, and, you know, I don't want to get beat by him, and he doesn't want to get beat by me either. So it pushes both of us to be better.
Before we continue real quick, we're going to go ahead and let you go, Dale. Congratulations.
Have fun in tech.
I just want to say one more thing. Josh Williams, spotter, did an excellent job today. He had to step up as well. His name won't get mentioned a ton today, but as far as direct line of communication for the majority of the day, that was who was talking to Connor. And so he had to, you know, he had to step it up, just a pro. So real proud of him, real thankful for him. He made today a breeze. Thank
yeah,
y'all.
And fun fact, he won the last cup race, truck race, and Xfinity race. He's three in a row.
He is. He's awesome, yeah, dude.
Good spotter. Thanks, Dale.
Thanks again, Dale. Congratulations. All right, we're going to continue on right here.
Tuckin' William, the PonyFinish.net. Connor, congratulations on your first Xfinity Oval win. I wanted to talk to you about some of the momentum shift in stage two with the cautions, with the strategy that you brought with Dale. I mean, how did you guys work around that and propel yourself later on in the race?
Yeah, no, we had some really good strategy today to get us out front, and clean air was really important. You know, we started stage three with the lead, and I was able to, you know, get a bit of a gap before the 17 got to second and ran me down. And, you know, that was really important to get that clean air and, you know, do what we could to get me out front. So, yeah, it was really, really cool to have an interim crew chief on the box. And, you know, we ended up picking the right strategy. So glad it worked out, because I didn't want to have to yell at him after the race for choosing the wrong one.
And last thing, Dale was obviously balancing in the prime booth today, but also focusing on the Xfinity race today. I mean, what was that conversation that you had after with Dale? What was the first reaction that you had when you got out of the car and you saw him?
Yeah, no, he you know, he saw him in victory lane, and, you know, I've never really seen him that excited before. He's a pretty mellow guy, and, you know, he came up in victory lane right as I drove in and was cheering, and you know, he was excited because this is a bit different of a win for him. You know, usually as an owner, he feels like he's just there and didn't really play a role in the win. And, you know, I talked to him about it, because at Texas, I had a very similar scenario where I went to Texas when Kyle won. And, you know, they asked me, like, oh, you want to go to victory lane? And I was like, man, I don't know. I don't know. Should I be there? Should I not? Like, I didn't do anything today. Kyle drove the car and won the race. And he told me he kind of feels the same way. He's a little awkward in victory lane as an owner for him. So, you know, it's cool. He was a little more confident in victory lane today, given the fact that he had a bit more of a say in what happened and how the race went.
Chris Mack, GetTrends.com. Congrats, Connor. When do you start thinking about playoffs? Is it too soon to start thinking about playoffs, or do you think about playoff points and putting yourself in contention for the championship at Phoenix?
Yeah, you're always thinking about the playoffs, and you know, you want to get championship points or playoff points, and we did that today. We stayed out, got that stage win, and still ended up winning the race. So, yeah, it was a really good points day for us. We almost had a max point day. If, you know, I finished third in stage one, and, you know, I always think about it, right? But I don't think about, you know, those races in the playoffs. It's kind of just like a, you know, you want to get those points to set yourself up better when the playoffs do come around, but it isn't really on the top of my mind. But, you know, when we have the chance to get those points, we try and get them. What, the summer stretch? Yeah, the summer stretch is awesome. A lot of road courses. I didn't execute last week. We were really fast, and, you know, I didn't do the best job. But, yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm prepared to go to any racetrack. And, you know, the road courses are obviously going to be good races for me. And, you know, I want to change that and make it so that every race I go to can be a good race for me. And I think I've proven that lately. And, you know, I want to continue to work on my game and continue to be a factor at every race we go to.
Samuel Stubbs, JohnBarker.com. Connor, everybody that I talked to in the Cup bullpen this morning, save for Denny Hamlin, seems to still have an air of, I guess, uncertainty coming to Pocono, and they're in the Cup Series. You come here for the first time without your normal crew chief, and you put it in victory lane. Is there something about this racetrack, or just you in general, that has a penchant for, I guess, getting into victory lane, not necessarily when it's unexpected, but in situations like that with your first time seeing a racetrack?
Yeah, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. You know, I've done a lot to prepare myself for this, and the people at Chevy, Josh Wise, Scott Speed, you know, I never feel like I show up to a racetrack and I'm like, man, I'm nervous. I don't know what I'm going to do. I always have a plan showing up to a new racetrack. And, you know, I showed that today. I went out for practice and I rolled out and I was third on the first lap, you know, never seeing the place before. And it's not easy to do that, right? I was wide open going down into one, and I'm like, man, this is fast. And you know, you kind of just have to trust the simulator and trust your notes and what you've seen and watched. And, you know, I don't overdo it. I try to get myself an idea of what I'm going to do when I show up to the racetrack without, you know, having to overthink about it. You know, a lot of guys watch so much film and watch so much SMT and drown themselves in it that, you know, they have this cold or stone cut plan that, you know, when I show up, I'm going to do X, Y, Z and things can change. So, yeah, it's just about staying on your toes and being prepared no matter what the situation is. And, you know, I feel like I did a good job just accepting every situation I was put in today and, you know, trying to run my next best corner.
you mentioned accepting the positions you were put in today. Obviously, we know restarts here can get crazy. There was a lot of them with that rash of yellows that we had. And you go back to races like COTA earlier this year when you had the penalty and had to come back through the field. How are you at 18 years old and a driver that's still relatively new on the scene able to stay calm and able to, I guess, maturely get through situations that other guys might fold in, I guess, for lack of a better term?
Yeah, I mean, I've folded more times than I should be able to count this year, so I wouldn't say I'm perfect, but, you know, it's just a matter of preparing and you know, not letting any situation be too big. You know, those restarts can be chaotic and nerve-wracking, especially, you know, when you're up there at the front racing for a win, but, you know, I treat this race like, or any race, you know, just the same. I don't overthink it. I just, you know, run my next best corner and, you know, hope that what I do works out for me. Sometimes it doesn't and sometimes it does. And today it worked out and, you know, I'm glad it did, but, there's a lot that goes into preparing for these moments. And, you know, I do my best to, you know, be ready for anything that gets thrown at me.
Okay. We're going to take two more questions. We're going to go to Adam and then we're going to finish over here to the left.
I'm Chopper Motorsports today. Now, you kind of just touched on this, Connor, but at such a young age, you're probably the most highly touted prospect in the NASCAR industry right now. So being able to maintain a level head and continue to perform at such a high level, I guess, how have you been able to do it? You kind of already answered.
Yeah, it's just, you know, not letting outside noise get to me and being prepared for as much as you can. It's really tough, you know, when I'm getting tagged constantly in Twitter notifications and Instagram, and, you know, I sometimes just have to put my phone down and put my head down. And, you know, it's tough at times, you know, when weekends don't go well and you make mistakes, you want to look at that stuff and read it, but, you can't. And, you just gotta trust the process. And, the best thing about NASCAR is, you know, you race on Saturday and if you have a bad race, you show up next Saturday and you do it again. And that's really been the mindset that I've taken into this season as the season's gone on, is, you know, don't let the bad days really get to you. You just got to, you know, put your head down and focus on the next one. And, you know, I'm going to enjoy this one today, but, you know, come Monday, I'm going to focus on Atlanta and be ready for that. You know, I got a race cup next week and Xfinity, and, you know, I don't have a lot of time to celebrate this. And I think that's one of the best parts about NASCAR.
And also, just real quick, what message, if any, now that you finally won on an oval or triangle, as your crew would say, but what message could this send to your competition now that we're heading into the back half of regular season and the playoffs?
Yeah, there's no message to send the competition, right? You just got to, you know, let the results talk. And I feel like the entire Junior Motorsports team has been doing that lately. We've all been really fast and competitive. And, you know, I think that's just how we roll, right? You just gotta, you can't talk, you can't, you know, boast your elbows or shoulders. You just gotta, you know, let the results talk, because at any time it could flip on you and you could be the guy, you know, running 7th to 10th every week and not know why. So yeah, you gotta take advantage of these moments when your cars are really fast. And you know, that's what I've been trying to do lately.
Go ahead.
Matthew Blackley at Race Face Digital over here. So obviously, new crew chief this week. Do you feel a difference when you're driving between, you know, the crew chief you've had for the whole season where you built a bond with and your new guy?
I mean, the words come across differently and, you know, some things change, but the bottom line stays the same. You know, Marty is such a great crew chief for me, and, you know, there's no one crew chief is better than the other for me. It's you know, Marty had given Dale you know, a notebook and a plan, and had said, you know, this is what we got to do, this is the goal, this is the plan, and, you know, we'll do our best to execute it. And, you know, Dale came to the track this weekend, he did his homework, he came to the pre-race meeting, he went to pit practice, and he did all the right things and listened to Marty, and you know, that's why I'm sitting here right now. So I'm very grateful to have a good group around me that helps make this possible. It's not easy to show up to the track and have someone new running the show, and you know, to put it in victory lane's even cooler.
One final question. So I'm not sure if you're aware, but today set the record for most cautions at this track in the series. When you have this amount of cautions, does it kind of ruin your mindset and like your flow in your head when you're in the car?
No, it doesn't. You know, you got to be prepared for moments like that. And you know, you got to be ready for anything that gets thrown at you. And today was a pretty chaotic race. But, you know, you have to be ready for the next corner and ready for the next restart and ready for the next, you know, whatever gets thrown your way. And, you know, I take that motto into every race I run. And, you know, I've sometimes not done a great job at it. But, you know, today I did a good job just executing the restarts and, you know, making the most of the situations I was put in. And, you know, even though it was a chaotic one, I was still able to keep it clean and come out on top.
Thank you.
Connor, congratulations.
Thank you, guys.